Well, we're going to open up our Bible to Matthew chapter 8. I have shared with you earlier throughout the last 4 months that Jesus came, got baptized, went into the wilderness, came out the power of the Holy Spirit, started preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and then I told you that in chapter 8 and 9, he's actually showing the people what it looks like when the kingdom of heaven is really not just at hand but at work. How does it look like? And so we're going to jump right into it. In chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, we follow Jesus as he gets going. He said he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. These are the same people who were listening to him. They're following him now. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. As we go on, we can read how Jesus just systematically just encounters one problem after the other. But when he shows up into the problem, things changing. That's where we're going to focus today on. But before we go into all the things Jesus has done, into the details of it, I want you to go back to chapter 7 and read the last few verses with me, beginning in verse 24, because that sets the stage. He says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine," these are all the things he was preaching in the Sermon on the Mount, "and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." Jesus uses here the explanations of a major storm going through it, or we could say in our time we're living in, that major crisis that has just swept from the east to the west, has taken almost the entire world under its grip. This is one of those. And God is going to use this to show the people if they have built on the solid rock or if they have built on sand. Because he says, "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." In other words, the rain, the storm comes upon the good and the bad, comes upon those who are upon the rock with their lives. That means Jesus Christ is our anchor in it all, and upon those where Jesus is not the anchor. It does not matter where we are. When it comes to this, the wind and the rain and the virus will come and will affect from every quarter people. But the end result is the key. What is going to be left when it's all said and done? So think for a second when Jesus said, "Everyone who builds will build something." But the foundation is the key, not what's above the foundation. The foundation is the key. So he said, this is what's going to happen. If you go further back, a few verses back, Jesus gives us another illustration, what actually happens when just before these things occur. He said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,'" I'm reading from verse 21, "will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Think about it. Jesus is saying there will be a lot of people when these things are occurring. A lot of people who will come to him and say, "Lord, we have done all these things." In other words, they're focusing on the activities. I want you to think for a second what's going on today in your neighborhood, in this world, on how our focus is constantly shifting from who does what and who does not do what. And Jesus said, "Oh, they will clamor for who does what and who does not." They gave Jesus a whole list of what they have done in his name. But Jesus said, "You got a problem. Your problem is the foundation upon which you build all these things. That's your problem. When the storm will really hit, it will expose it. How will they find out? Only through storms. Everything looks good. Even the churches today, they look phenomenally good until the storm hits. Maybe your home was all fine and dandy until the storm hits. Fear takes a hold of you. What are they going to do tomorrow? How much money do I need? How much food do I need? How much do I need of this? What are they going to do over here?" I've shared you last week with you, and I cannot overemphasize or too much. I know it is a battle of the will. I know the enemy seems to be strong and winning that battle. But I can tell you one thing. The enemy is a liar and a thief and a murderer. For the life of me, I just can't wrap my mind around it. How most of you I know still taking way too many cues from the media that swirls around you. If you would spend as much time with the Lord and in his word during these times, your foundation would be much stronger than it has ever been. Listen, this storm is not going to go over that quickly. They may tell you this. I can tell you, it is not going to be over in a week or two. And we're not going to be back in church and have a celebration in a week or two. It will take its time. But if you are solidly on the foundation of Jesus Christ and you get your marching orders from him and him alone, all this is not the key point. The key point here is having built upon that solid foundation. Jesus is in that storm with us. Yes, he is. All the things which we are encountering, Jesus is in it. I've heard a lot of people talk, blogging, writing, putting YouTube videos up, saying, "Oh, this is the enemy doing. This is the devil's doing what's happening. This can never be God. God would never do such a thing." And I'm not saying God is the cause, but I'm telling you, God is in the midst with his presence. And when God's presence is in our midst, when his light shines, the wicked and the good is coming to the surface. You're going to be able to see everything. The way you react to these things today is exposing your foundation. And that's exactly why Jesus is in the storm with us. He's sharing with us what really is hidden down, which people and we ourselves don't even see. And he says, "Listen, trust me. Don't trust what you hear in the world. Trust me. I have a purpose." That virus did not surprise God. What's tomorrow happening does not surprise God. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us God knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything. Nothing surprises him. The way you and I react to this crisis does not surprise him. He knows that. He knew us better and always knows us better than we do ourselves. But he's going with us through the crisis, and the more the presence of the Lord is in our lives, listen, my friend, it may shake you a little bit when I tell you this, but this is the truth. The more the presence of the Lord is in our midst, the more of the stuff which we were hiding is being exposed. That's the way it works. Wherever Jesus goes, we're celebrating Palm Sunday. Jesus is walking into Jerusalem. Some people shouting for joy, "Hosanna, the King of David, the Messiah is here. Blessed be his name." On the other side, there's a whole group of people who are hating every minute of it. Because when the light shines, Jesus is the light of the world. When the light shines, it will expose the good and the bad. And that's exactly what's happening today. 5 years ago, a book was published by a Lebanese Christian author. These men have gone through a lot of turmoil in Lebanon. They have seen wars, they have seen crises, one after the other. His name is Charles Malik. He wrote a book called Christ and Crisis. Remember, he wrote that 5 years ago. He said, "Are you perplexed? Do you feel the crisis? Do you feel something profoundly wrong, both in your life and in the affairs of the world? Do you, as it were, hold your heart in your hand, fearing that at almost the next moment something terrible is going to break out, both in you and in the world? Have you reached a state where you simply do not quite trust the processes of the world, including nature, science, economics, politics, and even the best goodwill, suspecting that there is in them a flaw somewhere, a false note, an imminent principle of darkness, destruction, and death?" That sounds to me like he wrote that yesterday. Did you hear that? When he says, "We are trusting nothing, not even nature. Do we have an earthquake? Do we have a volcano going off? Do we have natural disasters? Science. We don't trust science anymore. What is right? What is wrong? Who is speaking the truth? Economics. Oh my. Politics. We don't even want to go there." And he said, "Even the best goodwill. Do people really mean good, or do they have ulterior motive? We suspect that there is a flaw somewhere." But he said, "An imminent principle of darkness, destruction, and death." And so what are we going to do with all this? He says, Christ is in that crisis. And I wholeheartedly agree with that author. The Lord Jesus Christ is in there, and let's this crisis go and pass into our lives and to the other side. And when it's all said and done, you will know, I will know, have we built on sand? Did the wave come in from the seashore after first we built that incredible, beautiful looking castle, and now the wave comes and the castle is gone? Or do we build on the solid foundation? We're not fearing because we know our God is with us. We are not shaking. We are not listening to marching orders from the world, but we're listening to the Holy Spirit. Listen, Satan has a megaphone. He is yelling at us every day to every media possible. And we are for hours on it and building up our unfaithfulness to God with it because we get the marching orders from the world. Family, listen to me. Get your marching orders from the Lord. This is not a time to listen to all the things in the world. This is a time to listen. What does the Spirit of the living God tell me? What is it? He builds up faith in us. We're building a stronger foundation. Some people telling me, "Oh, this church will disappear. This world is going to rip them apart." Let me tell you, Jesus said, "The gates of hell will not prevail against his church." That's you and me. Those who have the foundation, as Jesus Christ is our foundation, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's impossible. Mark Sawyers, in his book, The Reappearing Church, he wrote a year ago, published that book, he said, I quote him, "Our culture crises show us the consequences of what happens when we try and take over the controls of the world." He didn't write that book when the coronavirus was here. He knew, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the world will experience a crisis of major proportions, and that crisis is showing us the consequences of what happens when we try to control our own circumstances. He goes on to say, "To the contrite heart, the humble, the meek in spirit, God's presence is received as waves of love." What do you feel today when we're in the midst of this crisis? Do you feel the wave of Jesus' love flooding your soul, giving you peace that passes all understanding? Can you sleep at night well? My wife came up this morning and said, how did you sleep? I said, I was in hibernation like a bear. I heard nothing. I just sleep beautifully. I know my God has everything under control. His love for me floods my soul. Mark Sawyer goes on to say, yet for the proud, the rebellious, the autonomous, that's the one who wants to individualize everything on being controlled. He said the individuals and systems that wish to continue Adam and Eve's rebellion to reanimate the project of Babylon, to reach the progress without presence. Did you hear that? The progress without presence. For such people and systems, those same waves of love that are God's presence are experienced as judgment. End of quote. What does he say? He said, the programs and the parkers without the presence of Jesus Christ brings and creates chaos and crisis. That's why we're in it. That's what we're experiencing. We try to work our lifespan and expand it and make the judgment calls ourselves without recognizing that the presence of God is needed for us to have enough light to know where we're going. In every circumstance, in your home, your age does not matter, your status does not matter. The presence of the Lord is the key. Let me quote you from another book. 50 years ago, in 1966, Leslie Newbegin published a book titled Honest Religion for Secular Man. Quotes, after Christ had humiliated the power and principalities upon the cross, the sacred order of the world was exposed. It was either God's unmediated presence or nothing. As a Christian, I see this process of secularization as an extension of the prophetic attack in the name of the living God upon all structures of thought, patterns of society, idols, whether mental or metal, which claim sacred authority. What he says, the secularism, the worldly thinking, has penetrated the church to such an extent that we believe more what the world is saying than what the biblical text is saying. He said, we made the worldly thinking sacred authority. And he said, well, that was not me. I never did that. Well, you know what? We created political, economic, and scientific powers on giving them the powers because that's where we get our marching orders from, by default. Let me stop for a second. If you believe that if you would have only $1 million, you believe that this would solve all your problems, your sacred authority is money. If you believe that our politicians are going to solve the crisis which we have before us, and you put your basket, your eggs in that basket, your sacred authority is the political system. If you believe your religious attitude is going to solve the problem, your sacred authority is in religion. All of it will be exposed as nothing compared to God. Jesus said it this way, without me, you can do nothing. Oh, everybody wants to tell you that they are going to fix that problem. God's light has exposed that problem. There's so much which we need to realign our thinking about. One of them certainly is, because the Lord Jesus has an entirely different plan than the plan which we normally have. That includes a lot of churches, by the way, the way we think. God's judgment is merciful because to a judgment by his presence being manifested, we are being drawn to him. That very thing which we would hide from and try to escape from, God uses to draw us closer to him. As long as you and I have resources, we can escape from him and his presence, and we can do what we please. That's the way, the extension of our lives, that brings us away from the Lord. When you let go and you let that very tragedy, that very judgment upon this world draw you closer to Jesus, you are in his perfect will. It has to draw us closer. Remember the sandcastle I said earlier? We build and build and build. We shoot pictures. We send them all over our Facebook telling the people how wonderful builders we are. And then hopefully you never sent a picture when the wave came in, because there's really nothing there anymore. We have been for years and years and years in a consumer-shaped culture. And it offers us endless promises. It has taken a hold of most of us. So much so that we many times, instead of getting together with brothers and sisters, we actually give in, and we have activities, family activities, sports activities, musical activities, when you should be in church with the Lord and these people. Now God says, was not that important for you? Let me take it away from you for a season. Let me see how you do. You know, if we treat the golden blessings coming from heaven as kind of things which we can make choices about, it's not important. It's not number one. God just says, okay, I take it away. Let's see how it's going to go. Let's see how you're going to fear. Fear is taking a hold of us. That's a problem. Because our foundation gets shaken. Our culture of superabundance, we have everything. We are so blessed in this country. But it also, that superabundance promises us something. It promises us life and comfort. And it promises that we have the right to have all these things. And God says, that's where you put all your effort in? Comfort? Abundance? Let me take it away for a season and see what kind of foundation is underneath there. I remember the times we were looking at each other, my wife and I, where all of a sudden shopping malls popped up. When we grew up, there were no shopping malls. And all of a sudden shopping malls were going everywhere. They're popping up like mushrooms. Everybody goes to the shopping mall. Well, at the beginning we go Monday to Saturday. All of a sudden people go on Sunday to the shopping mall. We have no time to go to church. We need to go and shop. Why? That's when the specials are on. That's I need to have that special. So God said, well, you know, I can take the shopping mall down. Man said, oh, we have technology. We don't need the shopping mall. You know what we can do is we can order it online. We don't even have to move from the house. We just click a button. We get everything. We fill our houses with stuff which we don't need. And all of a sudden we recognize we can't live without the cell phone for an hour. We can't live without the TV an hour. We can't live without a computer for an hour. And we wonder, who is controlling our life? Is it the Holy Spirit? Or is it all these tools? Promises from every corner. You know, we have opportunities. And then God says, you know what? Your contemporary consumer culture says they have the medicine for all your wants, which that very contemporary consumer culture actually created. They create first the want, and then they give you the medicine. Wonderfully done. This is why I want to bring you back to Matthew. Because in Matthew, we see the world from a different viewpoint, from God's viewpoint. Go with me to chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. When Jesus finished these sayings, so I just rattled on telling you all the things which we have been sucked in without recognizing it. And I don't want to condemn you or anything, but I want to show you how quickly we can be absorbed in all these things. Ask yourselves a question. Have you been able this week to spend 2-3 hours quiet, just you and the Lord? Have you been able? So, well, I'm busy. Kids are at home, the household is a mess, everybody goes crazy. That's not the answer. Have you deliberately, intentionally taken time for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, just spending time in the book and with the Lord, and then listen to what the Holy Spirit tells you? Or has the wool gotten most of your time? You're going to have to answer that for that. Because if the wool gets your time, you're building like crazy, but it's a sandcastle. Spend time with the Lord. There's peace. When people walk into your house, they should sense the peace. When you get up in the morning, you should sense the peace. Oh, that doesn't mean everything goes well. That doesn't mean that you can just claim all the blessings in the world. But what you can claim is that God's presence is with you. He's in the midst of all this. Look what happens when Jesus gets into your midst. The crowds were astonished at his teaching. But see, you can be astonished at his teaching. But when you teach your children or share with your friends and you can't back it up, then your authority is probably not Holy Spirit power. Look what Jesus did. He taught them all these things. They said, this man is teaching like nobody else. He has such authority. Then he comes from the mountain. He meets the leper. Leprosy is another sign or symbolism for sinful people. Not that this man had the leprosy because of sin, but it is a sign that it will attack every human being. So when you get there and you are a representation of Jesus, do you have the remedy for a sinner? Yes, you do. You're an ambassador of Jesus. You are a building block, a holy building block of Jesus Christ. You are the messenger in this world. We are not of this world. We are representing an entirely different kingdom. When you were out and about, which we still can do here in Iowa, at least today, have you been able to share with somebody who maybe is freaking out, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Or were you joining them in the freak out session? Was your conversation about coronavirus or about Jesus? What do you think? The people today in America where we're living need the gospel more than ever. My friend, and there's nobody out there who brings them this good news except God's people. And we can declare it with authority. And yes, God can save people. Yes, God can perform miracles. The same Jesus who was walking 2,000 years ago on this earth is the same Jesus right now who is living in you and me through the Holy Spirit. Oh boy, do we need him more than ever. His presence. The Bible says he healed the leper. Look at verse 5 in chapter 8. When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But what goes on in the conversation afterwards is where we need to focus on for a second. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. That centurion said to Jesus, "No, I'm a Gentile. I understand your culture. As a Jew, you should never set foot in a home of a Gentile." Jesus is the very presence, representation of God Almighty. And he stands there before Cornelius. He stands there and he says, "Yeah, your faith, trusting me, that my power is not limited to where I am in person. Yeah, the healing power will flow." He said, "Go your way. Go your way." As he goes, the Bible says, one of his servants comes running and said, "Master, master, your servant is well. He's well." And Jesus said, "Just go. Your faith, the trust of this man in Jesus, has done what no one else could do." Let's stop there for a second. The trust that the presence of Jesus is in your home, in your family, in your children, in your situation, in your work, that trust can do more than all your knowledge combined. You can have all the knowledge. You can have all the information the world is giving you. You can understand the most complicated concepts that are going on in the world. You can explain all economics. You can explain all the political intrigues that are going on. You know everything. And it means absolutely nothing when one of your children gets sick. You don't need that knowledge. That knowledge will not help you. What helps you is putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that will help you. We say, "Pastor, if one of us gets the coronavirus, all my knowledge I have and how I can build up my immune system and how I can do this and that, it will not help you if God is not in it." You need God in your midst. Your presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, his presence in your life, is the key for you and me to come out on the other end unscathed. Let me say it again. The presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, in my life, in our families, in our church, in this country, is the presence of the living God that makes all the difference. If the presence of Jesus is not in your home, is not in your life, is not number one to be sought for, my friend, all the other things will crumble around you. You say, "Well, I do everything to protect my family." So were millions of others around the world thinking. It's a sand castle. It's not the solid rock, if you think that way. You and I can sustain anything, whatever the world throws at us, if Jesus is with us. That's all we need. That's the key. All these people who have entered into the presence of Jesus when he came down from the mountain, every one of them who was seeking him got what they needed. Every one of them. And that's exactly what you and I need. We need the touch and the presence of the living God. There's no substitute for that. Does that take a change, of course? Yes, it does. Does that make me having to reevaluate how I spent my day? Yes, it does. Does that change the way I spend all my day? Yes, it does. Does that change where I get my information from? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Open the book. Study the book. Look at the book. Jesus is not done yet with you or me. He has a work to do. And you and I can be healthy and strong spiritually, mentally, and if he wants to, even physically. We can be healthy economically. And you say, "Well, but I just got laid off." Listen, Jesus has resources which we don't know about it. And you may learn to trust him more. "I had plans to do this or that, and these plans are all on hold." Yeah, Jesus knew that too. We plan to be next Sunday in church, celebrating the great resurrection of Jesus Christ. Looks like we're going to be in the house. His resurrection has happened. We have experienced his resurrection. If we can get to church or not, it does not matter. You have church in your house. You celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ right in your house. There's plenty to be thankful for. You don't need me to give you communion. You have it set up yourselves. You are the leader of the house. You can lead. Maybe God wants to show us once again that there is a huge blessing when the homes turn into a house of prayer, when the homes turn into a house of reading the Bible together, when the home turns into a house where you can lay your hands on your children and bless them, when husband and wife can actually lay hands on each other and bless each other and pray for one another in the home. Yeah, you don't have to put it on Facebook that you did it. Forget that nonsense. Do it in quietness in your home. Let your home become the house of the living God, where the presence of the Lord is, where two or three gather together. That's where Jesus is and works. And nobody needs to know except you, and enjoy it. Maybe that's what the Lord wants to do. Maybe he wants to take all the other stuff away from us, stripping it from us. So what we have left is him with our family. What a blessing. Oh, there are so many blessings to be had. The psalmist in Psalm 33, verses 8 to 12 and 18 to 19, he says this: "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations," listen, "to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage." Oh, blessed are we. Look at the last verse. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him." Not fearing the virus, not fearing what political leaders do, not fearing what the medical profession does, not fearing what the economy does, not fearing what the people say. We fear the Lord and those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. That's why we look to the Lord. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him." Would you like to have God's eyes on you? On your family? Then hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver your soul from death and keep you alive when there's no food available. Oh, yes. He can do it. He's done it before. He can do it again. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen to that? If you have been shaken up a little bit, well, that's okay. If you disagree with me, that's okay too. The only thing I want you to do is to agree with God and his word, to pursue him more than you have ever done. This is a golden opportunity right now, the time we're living in. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All the other things you are spending so much time on," and he said, "if they are needed, I will add them to you. I will give them to you as a blessing. Just seek him and his righteousness." Oh, by the way, that's communion. That's what it's all about, refocusing. How could Jesus sit down with his disciples the night he was betrayed, love them, and focusing on the kingdom, knowing that a few days later they will nail him to a cross. And then he had the audacity to say, "Oh, my joy is to go there and do that for you." Because he wanted us to be with him in his kingdom. And I hope you can celebrate Jesus in your midst, the very presence, all week long. We help you along by Wednesday night. If you tune in at 6:30, we have a roundtable discussion again here. Hopefully we can get together. We want to obey the laws of the land. So if we can, we will do it. Otherwise, we have to come up with another idea. And we're going to go to the 7th chapter of this book, which actually deals this time with the gospel, not just the content of the gospel, but also what it means to proclaim the gospel. Please read that 7th chapter. It's only about 9 pages, easy for everyone to read. If you have any questions beforehand and you would like us to discuss your questions or give you an answer to that question, please email us at victory@netins.net, or you can also text us at our church phone, which is 515-827-6015, and we will take that up and discuss it here on Wednesday night. I hope you come and join us together as we discuss these wonderful things. And may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you, guide you, and help you through these days. Let's together pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for your word. Yes, sometimes it's strong medication. But if the patient is sick, we need strong medication. We thank you, Lord, for guiding us and directing us and helping us through these difficult times. We ask that you give wisdom to our family members, to the leaders in the household, to our state representations, Lord, the leadership here, all the different states. Lord, our national leaders, when they have to make decisions, that you will give them wisdom, that they listen to your Holy Spirit or be advised and guided by people who know you, or may they themselves know you. Lord, that they are sensitive to your guidance and to your leading. And Father, as your presence to Jesus Christ is in our midst, even in our nation, and you expose all the things which we have put so much emphasis on to have, may we be able, Lord, to let go of these things and say we want to pursue you, and you draw us closer and closer to you. And we thank you, Lord, for protecting our families, blessing our families, give them health and strength and wisdom throughout this week. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people can say amen and amen. I see you Wednesday night, 6:30, right here, and we finish it out with a beautiful worship song. God bless you.